The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello again. Coming up on this week's podcast from Radio Today, we'll take you to opposite ends of the country to find out about community radio in a crisis, in both senses of the phrase. Julie Donaldson from Zetland FM in the northeast of England and Nathan Spackman from Bro Radio in South Wales will be on to tell us how they're getting on broadcasting their breakfast shows from home and what help is needed to ensure the sector survives. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments later, IRN apologises for an Obit alarm fail. There are birthdays for Johnny Walker and Radio Caroline, and commercial radio arrives in Manchester.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Azoid.
First, though, let's chat to Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin. Lots of stories on the Radio Today website this week, Roy. Some of them are even nothing to do with coronavirus. Exciting.
I don't believe you. I thought a couple of weeks ago, here we go, a national emergency. Might be time to have a couple of weeks off, but we've been busier than ever and looking after children, babysitting full time. So, very, very busy at the moment, but yeah, still business as usual on the Radio Today website. We've even had a phishing attack on the website just to keep us going.
A pissing attack.
So, what more can you ask for? Whatever, however you say it. A million hits at once.
Well, maybe it was just radio people that sat at home looking for radio news. Maybe it was.
Possibly, yeah. Could be.
Well, I've been quite busy as well. I've been launching a helpline for my town. It's done all the technical and the web and the publicity and stuff for our community helpline. I think lots of areas have got these, so people ringing in and being connected via a virtual call centre all around my town to volunteers who can help them and get food for them or medicine or whatever they need. So I've been a bit busy with that on the sidelines, bit of volunteer work. And I've had a couple of appearances on BBC Local Radio as well. Did you tune in and listen to me?
I'd like to say yes at this point.
You'd like to.
I've not even listened to last week's podcast yet. That's how crazy it's been. Our podcast.
You mean you listen back to this rubbish?
I fast forward this bit and then get to the your good stuff.
All right, okay. Yes, so I had a couple of appearances on BBC Local Radio. I was on with Stephanie Hurst on Radio Leeds talking about my helpline in my town, and also on with Simon Clark on BBC Radio Solent. That's your local radio station. What was I doing on that? I was talking about free DAB radios for the over 70s.
And how did that go?
Well, you'd have known if you'd listened. It was all right. It was all right. It was good. So, yes, popping up on a couple of places, all from home, of course, and used different technologies to do that. So I dialed into Comrex at Radio Leeds from IPDTL for the first one, and then I used Call Me from Vortex, which I never used before, to get onto Radio Solent. So there we go. I'm trying out all the technology. Sorry, did that get a bit geeky?
No, I liked it. It was lovely. One thing I've mentioned in eRadio Today, which is out now, is the fact that the technology is so easy to come across, but if you're not a geek, if you're not a nerd like Stuart, it might be hard to come across. So if you want to drop me or Stuart an email, I've put our email addresses in the newsletters. Thanks, Stu.
What?
Just get in touch and we'll see if we can help you out.
That's very, very kind of you to offer my services like that. How much are we charging for this?
No, it's all in the spirit of, helping each other out. And it's because I've seen quite a few pictures, photos, videos on the socials of people still in radio buildings, but all they're doing is pumping out the hits. They're playing 10 in a row and they're sat there pressing the tit. And, they can do that from home easily. So if you need any help, drop us a note.
Yeah, and we tried something new out this week as well. On Sunday night, we had this idea for a Radio Today virtual social night, which we started off small. We might grow that. We might carry on doing it. It was a bit of fun. We had 9 of us in there, and at one point it was all right, wasn't it?
It was funny. It was funny. I'm not sure of the longevity. It's one of those spur-of-the-moment things that, jumping on the bandwagon, I'm not sure it's a regular feature, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe again next week if anybody else comes along.
Yeah, it was nice to connect some of our friends that are not necessarily friends with each other and kind of, do a bit of online networking. And because there was only like 9 of us in there, I thought, let's see if we can get some more people in here. I posted a public link on Twitter and we let some random strangers in, and we kind of stumbled across an idea for a new kind of program format.
Let's see who John is. I've got my finger on the button.
Hey, I'm just calling in just to say I really love what you guys are doing.
Hey, thanks, John. Who are you?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm currently in New York right now.
Okay, and what do you do, John?
I work as a computer programmer.
Okay. Yeah. How's your day?
Oh, it was really good. I'm just calling in, you know, like, I really support what you guys are doing, you know, like, just having fun, like, kicking it on Zoom app, you know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah. What specifically about what we're doing, John?
Well, I just really just want to stab and hang his.
Yeah, here we go.
See you, John. Dump button gone. There we go.
Just like a late night talk show, isn't it?
It is. It's great.
Jack Hoff. Do you reckon that's a real person? So, yeah, it was a bit of fun. I've bleeped it there, obviously, because he said some quite naughty things.
I'm glad you did beep it, because I've not heard those words for decades. I was shocked.
Yeah, so, yeah, trying out a new format. So, yeah, we just basically did our own late-night phone-in, and we had some people shouting swear words over the internet at us, which was interesting. Everybody's got a podcast, and lots of people have been launching new podcasts while they're stuck in their houses. And one I've been listening to this week, first episode just out of three radio people that you may well know or know of, Stephanie Hurst, Debbie Mack, and Scott Hughes. I've got a new podcast. It's called Well, This Is Weird. It comes out on a Friday. I listened to the first one already, and it's good. It's very nice.
I had a prediction, and this is just me, and I will probably be wrong because I usually am, that the podcast audience will go down. Because is it true that most podcasts are listened to on a commute? So on the tube, on the trains, on the bus, in the car. And if we don't have the commute, are people actually being bothered? We'll soon find out, I guess. The numbers will reveal themselves.
Yeah, I've probably listened a little bit less to podcasts, actually, since I've been at home, because, you know, I quite often just put my AirPods in and listen around the house if I'm doing, you know, some jobs in the kitchen or whatever. But I haven't been doing that because I have to keep my ear out for the kids fighting and causing trouble and stuff. So, yeah, I've probably not listened while they've been off school as much.
Exactly. A straw poll of two suggests that podcasts are down.
Yeah. Well, the figures for Spotify in the States are down about 8% or something, aren't they? And people have been putting the radio on for companionship and information that you obviously don't get with a playlist. And some really good figures for online streaming, I think, you know, 10, 15, 20% in some cases, that radio stations here in the UK are seeing traffic increase by. So that's all good.
It's encouraging for radio and the future of radio. And it may even be attracting new people to radio. So, you know, a couple of quarters' time, once Radar gets out and about giving out diaries again, or maybe if they invent a way of doing it without physically seeing people, as we are experiencing in many other industries, maybe, you know, this time next year, we're getting up and up and up. Even more people listening to the radio.
Absolutely. There's lots of stations making a big difference in their areas and pulling those listeners in as a result. And that's right across commercial, BBC, community, student, hospital radio stations. There's lots of stuff on our story this week on radiotoday.co.uk, giving you a bit of a flavour of what is going on. There's a new Facebook group being launched as well, with lots of people all around the world sharing ideas from radio stations doing coronavirus-related content. So look that up if you haven't seen it. And the story from the Community Media Association this week as well, they're asking for some kind of urgent help for community radio stations. A lot of advertisers pulling out, community stations that get some of their funding by running a cafe or a training program obviously had to stop all that. So their money is drying up as well. And we're going to have more on this with our guests later in the podcast, Nathan and Julie, who are talking a bit about community radio. But it feels like, you know, the community stations are not really getting any help much. And obviously the commercial stations, a lot of the big groups have got advertising contracts who are taking government money to promote public health messages. And the community stations are doing this for free and, you know, putting out the public information, but not getting paid for it, which is an interesting angle.
Yeah, the funding round for community radio hasn't been updated for a dog's age. And that really needs to be looked at, especially, as you say, right now, where they need this money or they will close. It's as that there's going to be a few closures, I'm sure. There's going to be closures and pound sales, even in the commercial radio sector, I assume, from what I've been hearing over the next couple months. It's not a good time. So we're doing the best content ever, yet the money's not coming in. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Help comes in some shape or form.
Yeah, and at national BBC level, some changes going on because of the coronavirus stuff. They've got some tweaks at Six Music and Radio 1, the latest ones announced in the last week or so, kind of doing longer shows to reduce the number of shows they have in each day. It means people like Liz Kershaw and Amy LeMay from Six Music are now not going to be on their weekend shows. I think Liz on Twitter seems suggesting that wasn't her decision to drop off either. And Radio 1, I've got Chris Stark and Scott Mills have been on this week in kind of the middle of the day. It was great to see Chris start with a can of lager in his studio at home at 11:30 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Beer before midday just shouldn't happen.
That's Radio 1 for you, though, isn't it? And they're doing this thing this week on BBC National Radio as well, a sing-along across Radio 1, 2, 6 Music, 1 Extra and the Asian Network. That's happening on Thursday morning. Should we talk about some stuff that's not to do with coronavirus?
Yeah, because as you said, it's been very busy. There's been radio stations changing hands. There's been Ofcom growing some balls. There's been all sorts going on. Tell us more, Stu.
Kind of a shock, really, because Ofcom have said no to something that Global and Communicore wanted to do, and they wanted to put Capital Extra on FM in Manchester instead of XS Manchester. But the format request change has been turned down. Wow.
I know. Nobody saw this coming. And I'm sure the guys at Communicore, CC UK and Global didn't expect this. It is a bit of a shock. And I mean, they said they were minded to give this the go ahead before it went to consultation. Just under 70 people said, no, don't do this because we value our local rock radio station. So it's a bit bizarre. And it's also crazy that on one side, they're saving, you know, a few hours a day of local content on XS Manchester whilst they obliterate, you know, a full country of local radio stations just a few years ago. So it's a bit weird, but I can see where they're coming from. The change to the new service from Capital Extra would take away something from the city that that Capital Extra wouldn't give them. So an interesting one, and it's probably only a matter of time until, you know, they can just flip in a way.
Yeah, and lots of other kind of little license things going on at the moment. In particular, we heard this week Durham and Darlington. So what Durham FM or Durham Radio and Alpha in Darlington, both those were part of Star Radio and UKRD at one point. They've had a few changes over the last couple of years, to say the least. They're now part of Sun FM in Sunderland, bought by Nation.
Yeah, so Sun FM is heading south down to County Durham. And let's hope they don't make the mistake. I'm sure they won't, of alienating people in Sunderland just to serve the rest, the other two areas that they've bought. The areas they've bought much bigger than what they have at the moment, coverage-wise. So good luck to them, and we'll see how that pans out.
And it might be a little while before these get on the air with everything that's going on at the moment, but 6 extra community radio licences could be the last ones awarded for a while as well, because Ofcom are now kind of putting most things on pause.
Yeah, 6 more community licences awarded, as you say. Cheshire FM, Coast and County Radio in Scarborough, Cross Counties Radio, which is something to do with the big trading estate near Lutterworth, I believe. Elastic FM, Chesterfield, Radio Scarborough and West Kent Radio in Royal Tunbridge Wells. Is that 2 for Scarborough then?
Yeah, so 2 licences. And I think Radio Scarborough, which was Jerry Scott before he sadly passed away a couple of years ago, put an application in. I think that was turned down from my memory in 2013-ish. Because Yorkshire Coast Radio had pretty much said, if you launch a community radio station here, we won't survive. And UKRD were not very happy about there being a community radio station in Scarborough. So Bauer now own Yorkshire Coast Radio. Seemingly, they don't appear to have objected to Ofcom as strongly as UKRD might have done. And the answer is they've got 2 rivals.
Okay. And how are they different, the 2 stations?
I've no idea. I haven't had a chance to look at the applications, but I'm presuming they are different in some way. They're targeting different sections of the community. Otherwise, presumably Ofcom wouldn't have awarded 2 licences for the same town where there's already fairly small commercial station.
Yeah, bonkers.
Mm. So a couple of name changes as well this week. BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey are getting the word radio in their titles. Hurrah. This is all just about jingles, though.
That's right, yeah. They got the new Real World package launched this week. So Radio Sussex and Radio Surrey. It's coming as well to others. Radio Wiltshire did it a few weeks ago. I missed that one, so maybe I'll give that a mention on the website. Radio Tees, of course, did it. And I do believe there's more as well. Maybe Radio WM, Radio Somerset, also going back to using the radio name, but we'll find out in the coming days and weeks, of course. What about the others? There's Essex and Hereford and Worcester. I wonder if they'll do it as well.
I don't know whether Essex could. Could you have BBC Radio Essex when there's a commercial station called Radio Essex?
Ah, yes, of course, the old history there. Probably not. And if you do it for Radio Hereford and Worcester, that's a lot of syllables to get in a small space, isn't it?
It is, yeah. A change at TalkSport. Alan Brazil has been on breakfast the last 20 years on TalkSport. He's just dropping down to a couple of days a week now. He's going to do Thursdays and Fridays. Laura Wood's taking over Monday to Wednesday as the main host. A new job this week for Simon Monk, who's left Signal. He's now the Deputy Director of Radio and Live Events at BFBS. Well done to you, Simon. And some sad news this week. Anyone who's ever worked on the air in North Yorkshire will probably know a guy called James Wilson. He has sadly passed away quite suddenly in his sleep this week. James was part of the launch team at Stray FM in Harrogate just over 25 years ago. He was part of the launch team at Yorkshire Dales Radio, where I first met him in 97 in Skipton. And he stayed at that station for about 15 years till it was sold on to UKRD. He's been recently working on a community station called Drystone Radio. So a nice outpouring of love for James after the sad news of his sudden passing this week. Now, we should have been in Portugal now, Roy. We should have been doing this podcast this week from Radio Days Europe.
I know. Tell me about it. Could just do it with a few days off. Don't know about you.
Yeah, so that has now been rescheduled. Radio Days Europe is going to be happening on the 13th to the 15th of December. So it's only, what, 10 days or so before Christmas, which is probably going to be quite tricky for some people. It's still going to be in Lisbon. And I think they've started announcing speakers already, and they've already got a session announced about what radio did around coronavirus. So that's going to be appropriate.
Yeah, grabbing every opportunity. Hopefully we shall see you at Christmas in Lisbon.
And obviously most of the radio events for the next couple of months or so at least are off or postponed. There are dates for a few things, so check those out on our events listings. I think the Podcast Radio Awards have got a new date, but generally most other stuff is just postponed for the time being. Right, still to come, David Lloyd's Radio Moments. Next, though, we're going to look at community radio in a crisis. And it's round table next week, Roy, so I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Bon voyage.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme. Last week looked at commercial radio, BBC local radio and hospital radio. This week we're going to have a bit of a focus on community radio and how it's getting on during the crisis. Nathan Spackman is with us, Operations Director and Breakfast Co-host at Bro Radio in Barry in South Wales. Hi, Nathan.
Hello.
And Julie Donaldson, the award-winning breakfast presenter from Zetland FM in Redcar in the northeast of England. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
So both of you broadcasting from home at the moment as well. Let's get your experiences of that from first. How are you finding it, Julie, being in the house all day?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm really quite enjoying it. I work in a tower, which is five floors from the toilet. So there's a big plus point having the toilets just right there.
But in terms of doing the show, technically and stuff, you're working it all out and it's happening as it should?
It is happening as it should. I've got really clever people working behind the scenes. So I've got one computer that's streaming out to the beacon. I've got another computer that's our playout system. I've got a third computer that I can check emails. I can check social media. I've got a little mixer that everything's running in between. So actually it's working really well. The only thing I'm not doing is the one thing I couldn't do anyway, which is the face-to-face interviews. But I'm still doing everything remotely. So actually it is working quite well.
And how are you getting on, Nathan, with your technology and everything from home?
Yeah, it's quite weird. So a bit different. There's two of us doing breakfast. So it's even more complicated getting two people from two dining room tables. We're using clean feed straight into our studio, and then a little bit of Myriad Anywhere for the voice track stuff. It was a bit difficult at first. Took a couple of days to get used to little things like echoes and things like that, but now we've ironed all those issues out. It seems to be working well. It's just weird because you walk straight down the stairs straight into your radio studio, whereas normally I'm used to getting up a little bit earlier, going only a couple of minutes from the radio station anyway. It's a little bit different. It's taken a week to get used to.
And Julie, in terms of the audiences, you're still getting a lot of reaction, I guess, even more so at the moment.
Oh, a lot. And I think it's growing a lot as well, because what people are appreciating is that we're keeping going. And in a world that's become really weird and nothing is normal, I think hearing a familiar voice at the same time every morning as you would normally get, they're actually enjoying that normality. And unusually for me, people are actually calling me normal, which is nice.
And I mean, the thing about both of the of your stations at Bro and at Zetland, you've obviously been going a long time. I mean, Bro 11 years this week. I think it's your birthday, isn't it, Nathan? And Zetland, similar kind of story. You know, you've been on the air for 4 or 5 years now. So a real part of the community in both cases.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It's quite an interesting community because there is no one else really in this area, radio-wise or even newspaper-wise, is working in the area at the minute. So it's kind of brought us a little bit closer together, same as we're seeing everywhere else in the country, these little groups coming up on Facebook of people helping the community. Well, they're using us to get those messages out there. Local voluntary groups getting in touch on a daily basis, giving us updates so we can put them out there. It's just kind of, weirdly, although we're out of a studio environment and all of us are really disconnected at the minute because we're from our homes, it's kind of brought us a little bit closer to the listeners and our community who we're serving.
And yeah, I mean, community radio is essentially a hyper-local media. So, you know, a lot of these Facebook groups that pop up for small areas and towns and things, that's the radio version is community radio in a lot of cases. So when crisis is hit, you know, you can be hyper-local in what you do, Julie.
Yeah, absolutely, you can. I mean, it's quite interesting for us because we have listeners across the country and across the world, which is nice. But I've used it not just to tap into locally, but actually find some of our listeners nationally or internationally rather, and give us a flavour of potentially what's to come. Because I think people have been a bit, they're not taking it seriously, or they haven't always taken the situation seriously. So I've kind of used it as a bit of an educational thing to kind of go, this is what could happen if we don't take it easy now. So that's been quite nice.
And has the tone of what you do, Julie, changed, you know, in terms of being a bit more serious than a bit more silly? Because I know you are quite silly.
I think people, well, funnily enough, somebody called me the other day, the modern day Vera Lynn, which I quite liked. I think that was a compliment. But I'm wanting to keep things fairly light, but with information. So I'm talking about the serious stuff like the mental health issues that people will have being holed up in their house. But I'm also putting the light in. I've just introduced a new feature every morning, not long after 8, called the Julie's Physical Jerks. And I'm trying to get people a bit more active as well. So it's not just sitting and enjoying. You can get up and bop.
And Nathan, how are you finding the audiences in terms of what they want? Do they want the information and the serious stuff, or do they want the fun or a bit of all sorts?
It's a bit of a mix of both. I think speaking to some listeners, they're getting the up-to-date information and the kind of the Public Health Wales and Public Health England, the government stuff, to their phones as soon as it happens. A lot of our listeners are preferring the lighter side of things, but we're still bringing local news and information and what's going on through our shows as well. But I think we try to distance ourselves, so we're not focusing too much on what's going on, because that's everywhere. And like myself, a lot of people are struggling with trying to get away from that as well.
In terms of the business side of things, you know, how bad is it? Community Media Association this week have said a lot of community stations might soon have to close. They're asking for various bits of help. Do you think that help that they're asking for, Nathan's going to be enough? And how realistic is it that stations might actually shut next week?
So personally, I can't see stations shutting next week, just because we're at the end of the month. Most of the month was done before this shutdown kind of happened. It's the next couple of weeks that are going to be interesting, I think, for us. We've already seen a couple of advertisers say, look, we want to, our business is shut, we want to just put our advert on hold and not pay you for a little while, which is obviously something we're looking at. What the CMA are asking is great, and you know, they've done a lot of good work, and both Bill and Danny and Dom and everyone else have put a lot of hard work into that. But I think it's not asking for enough support now. It's a lot of what can be delivered in the future. You know, £10,000 a station would be brilliant from the Community Radio Fund. There needs to be more money invested in that. Stations have increased. It's not gone up. But we need kind of need that money this month, in April now, not in August this year. Because by that point, I do think that some stations, particularly the smaller ones that don't have some paid staff at all or just completely volunteer-led, may struggle to see this through.
And how are you finding it in terms of getting the volunteers to still do stuff? Because obviously, you know, not only the technology, but actually, you know, getting the goodwill of those people.
So we drafted a plan together quite quickly once there was talk about some sort of lockdown. We actually actioned that a couple of days before the lockdown happened, just because the building we're in is the YMCA hub. It's more of a leisure facility than standard YMCAs have homeless facilities. And we kind of preempting from what their talk was that they were going to close at some point. So we started, I think it was the week before. Doing stuff from home. Thankfully, we had a plan together, but we realized quite quickly a lot of our guys aren't that technically minded to be able to do things outside the studio. We've got a couple of volunteers who are in their 60s and 70s who aren't the best technically minded in a radio studio sometimes. So plugging a mic in at home and pressing the buttons remotely or voice tracking wasn't really an option. But we've probably gathered a team. I think it's like 10 or 12 of us all in now doing news and programs. We're still on air from 7 in the morning till midnight in the week. And I think about 12 hours on the weekend. So we're still delivering a service. It's just some slightly different voices that did evening shows for us now doing daytime shows. But everyone seems to have jumped on board of it, really, and is just getting stuck in and helping out as much as they can.
Yeah, just rearranging the pack a bit, I guess. I know, Julie, you're going to be doing a Sunday show from this week, I saw as well.
I am indeed. But the thing is, I think we've been quite lucky in that we've got a lot of volunteers who were really keen to still be involved. This is kind of their little escape in a weird sort of way. So from a programming point of view, we've got pretty much the whole day exactly as it used to be. So you've still got me on a morning, you've still got Jeremy, you've still got John. All the specialist shows in the evening are exactly the same. And we're either doing live, predominantly live, and some voice tracking. So in many ways, people won't really notice the difference. And what I would like to add as well is what's been really nice about the community radio is that we've been working with other community radios in the Northeast, and we have a daily coronavirus update that is now running across the network in the north, which is fabulous.
Wow. Oh, that's really good that you're all kind of pooling resources. And I guess Ofcom, in what it said about relaxation of some of the policing of stuff, are allowing that to happen. So I guess stations roundabout can kind of work together a bit more where they perhaps wouldn't have been allowed to under the regulations previously.
Yeah, we're talking quite a lot. We've got a little group set up that's kind of in its early stages, which is a Welsh Community Radio Network, just to try and bring the 10 stations that exist and are on air currently in Wales together. I've had a few conversations with a couple of stations. Some have gone to doing very little or no programme, just updating local news because they can't get to their studios. Others have done slightly different and are just doing stuff from home. But we're trying to stay in touch and offer each other support as much as possible.
And I think on the funding side, there are stations obviously that are getting income from other places other than advertising. So community cafes I've heard about, or training facilities and all that kind of stuff. And obviously they've had to shut all that down. So their income has completely gone out the window. So there's a lot of crowdfunding going on and stuff like that. So there are other ways to get your listeners, I suppose, to support you financially at the moment.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of stations do some crowdfunding campaigns, which seem to be doing quite well. And I think the important thing really is at the minute is to speak to your advertiser and be a bit more open and honest with them and explain, you know, what would happen if they stop supporting you and how you can also support them. I think that's the really important thing through this is they might not be open, but we can still offer a way to support them, get them through this, keep their name and their awareness up.
And I suppose the thing is when everything gets back to normal, whatever normal life is going to be, everybody's going to want to advertise to tell everybody that they're open and everything, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what we're working with a lot of our advertisers now. I would say probably 90-95% have been affected by the shutdown because they're things like restaurants and cafes and bars and shops on the high street that aren't classed as essential. So it's really important to us to make sure that they return afterwards because they've supported us for these 11 years.
Well, I think you're both doing a fantastic job and your stations are and all the community radio stations that are keeping things ticking along around the country. So do keep it up. And if there's anything as an industry we can do to help the community radio sector, just shout, won't you? Because everybody wants to help.
I think the thing is, a conversation I've just had quite recently is just to emphasise what we do and what an important resource we are, because if we go under when everything returns, we won't be here. And I think only then will people realise just how good we've been.
That's why we've written letters to the Welsh Government, just to make a point of saying we're here, we want to return. We've got volunteers that are currently sat at home doing very little because they rely on us, and we want to make sure that after this we're back. So whilst we're here, use as much as you can, support us as much as you can. Hopefully then the other side of this will all be here to continue doing that when things go back to whatever normal is.
That's Nathan Spackman from Bro Radio and Julie Donaldson from Zetland FM. And Nathan mentioned Clean Feed. What better time to give it another big plug here on the Radio Today programme. So if you've never tried it before, it's a great thing that you could be doing to get yourself on the air from home or connect into your transmitter site directly or maybe hook up with some friends to make a podcast. Cleanfeed.net is a great way to get quality connections just using a browser, using the internet. It doesn't cost you anything to get started. It won't take you very long at all to get signed up and give it a go. Send somebody a link they can click on. They can connect with you in studio quality, provided you've got a decent microphone at either end. And you'll be up and running within minutes, getting on with your live show or recording for your show or your podcast. To find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Radio Moments,
David. In the wake of Clap for the NHS and us all playing You'll Never Walk Alone a few days prior, let's remember this week in 1985.
Simultaneously, the song We Are the World penetrated all corners of the globe. Radio station KXKW was one of several stations in our community that aired the 6-minute, 22-second anthem.
You and everyone, we are the children. We are the world.
There comes a time. 6,000 radio stations getting together in 25 countries to play the song that was fundraising for the African Famine Appeal. President Reagan, as was, said he'd never heard the song before, but he was moved as he listened to it. Here's something relevant too, from 18 years ago, the death of the Queen Mother. But IRN, Independent Radio News, ended up writing to apologise to its client commercial stations, saying it wasn't their finest hour. The note said, when the audio obit alarm should have been fired, 8 minutes before the 6 p.m. bulletin, which would have made IRN one of the first broadcasters to break the news, an incorrect button was pressed, and it didn't happen. So they didn't hear the news until this.
It's six o'clock. This is Independent Radio News. Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, has died. An announcement was made by Buckingham Palace a short while ago. Peter Russell reports on the life of Her Majesty.
When the Queen Mother was born, Victoria was on the throne and the Prime Minister was...
Oh, those cart clicks. The Queen Mother's death on commercial radio this week in 2002. On a brighter note, this week a 75th birthday for a broadcasting icon.
Johnny Walker.
From the north, east, west and south, this is Radio England News, live and up to the minute at 8.15. Johnny Walker reporting in the public interest. Hotline New York. The Foreign Secretary, Mr. George Brown, has accepted an invitation.
The biggest selling record for a whole month in Great Britain, therefore Radio 1's number one for 4 weeks. Stand at number two this week for Mud and Tiger Pete. Stand by.
Radio Caroline would like to extend its thanks to Mr. Harold Wilson and his Labour government for at last, after over 3.5 years of broadcasting, recognising this station's legality. It's right to be here. It's right to be broadcasting to Great Britain and the continent. It's right to get...
Happy birthday, Johnny Walker. And there he was on board Radio Caroline as it became illegal. That station had launched 3 years before that recording, this week in 1964.
Hello and happy Easter to all of you. This is Christopher Moore with the first record program on Radio Caroline. The first record is by the Rolling Stones, and I'd like to play it for all of the people who worked to put the station on the air, and particularly for Ronan.
Happy birthday to Radio Caroline. Over the years, the BBC has been wondering how and whether it should have a rolling news service. And this week in 1993, listeners were getting a little exercised about its latest plans.
About 300 Radio 4 listeners have taken part in a march to protest against BBC plans to stop broadcasting the service on longwave and replace it with a continuous news network. Under the BBC's proposals, Radio 4 would continue to be broadcast on FM, which some listeners find difficult to receive. The demonstrators marched from Hyde Park to Broadcasting House, where they handed in balloons carrying the message, Save Radio 4 Longwave. Our media correspondent, Torrin Douglas, watched the protest.
Longwave!
Radio
Around 300 supporters of the campaign to save Radio 4 on Long Wave marched to Broadcasting House, many confessing they'd never been on a protest march before. A large contingent came from mainland Europe and Ireland, where Radio 4 is received only on Long Wave, since its FM signals are restricted to the UK. Today, Radio 4 and three other BBC networks began transmitting on the Astra satellite for people with dishes or cable TV. This week, the BBC's Director General, John Burt, said the corporation wouldn't go forward with a continuous news service until it could ensure Radio 4 reception.
Maybe DAB may work, who knows. I'm not sure if it's apocryphal, but they did say at that particular protest, the Radio 4 listeners were chanting, "What do we want, Radio 4? Where do we want it? Long Wave. What do we say? Please." It was... Now, the nearest thing we got to a news service, eventually from the BBC, launched this week in 1994.
And it's 19 minutes to six now. You're with Five Live, the brand new news and sport network from the BBC. And now the morning papers. Here's Andy Lewis.
And the reports on Europe this morning are peppered with words like crisis and ultimatum. The Mail has the headline.
Stand by for the all-new Five Live breakfast show with Peter Allen, and that's coming up at 6 o'clock. Now, though, it's time for Adrian Childs. Wake up to money.
Well, good morning. Important days for Westland Helicopters. Will shareholders fall for the charm?
The start of Five Live. Zoe Ball is now ensconced in her Radio 2 show, and it's 20 years this week since she ended her Radio 1 breakfast show.
Oh, look, I made it on time.
Yeah.
I have never been on the show at 6.30 before, normally 10 to 7.
Now, when you finally go home for a couple of weeks or months that you do, you're going to be darning socks and ironing Norman's shirts and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, doing a bit of gardening. Yeah. Jenna has never been so well behaved as he is this morning.
The end of breakfast on Radio 1 with Zoe Ball. 1974 now, and commercial radio came to Manchester.
Piccadilly Radio will start at 5 o'clock in the mornings, an hour later on Sundays, and run right through to 2 o'clock the following morning, providing entertainment, news and information for listeners in the Greater Manchester area. On VHF, most of the music will be in stereo, and you'll often find that VHF reception is clearer, especially after dark, than is possible on 261 metres medium wave. Radio dealers will be glad to explain what equipment you need to listen in full stereo.
Roger Day.
And it gives me great pleasure for the very first time to say a good Tuesday morning to you. Hit music for the Northwest. We are Piccadilly Radio.
Oh, of course. Of course, I chose the first song on Piccadilly, Good Vibrations. And thanks to the Rotten Turntable, it wowed in. And it was rebroadcast on all other stations. So everyone thought, what an amateur. So there you go. But anyway, it was Good Vibrations with the Beach Boys. And the Mancunian adventure started. And I had some great times. I loved every minute at Piccadilly. It was despite all the needle time restrictions and we had to do a certain amount of speech, I loved every minute. It was... We were the rebels up there because we had no internet in those days, and the IBA in London hadn't the faintest what we're up to.
Jackson 5, Gary Glitter, Four Tops, New Seekers, John Jones, Marvin Gaye,
hit music for the Northwest,
Piccadilly 261.
Roger Day and the first moments of Piccadilly Radio in Manchester, later Key and now Hits Radio. So with Richard Skinner leaving Radio 1 34 years ago...
Next Saturday at 5, it's Mark Page on Saturday Live. And remember, we will meet again elsewhere. This is Richard Skinner. Goodbye.
The final Lynn Balls appearance on Radio 2 years ago.
And I'm very, very grateful to everyone I've worked with and to everyone who's listened.
Oh, stop it now. Dear old Lynn Balls.
Sarah Montague saying goodbye to Radio 4's Today programme 2 years ago.
Our editors were Tom Fielden and Rebecca Keating. Good morning.
Radio 2 stopping sharing its FM frequency with Radio 1 30 years ago.
Now at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, Charlie Chester makes his FM debut on Radio 2 as Radio 2 no longer hands over the 2 hours from 5 o'clock to Radio 1. Yes, we've FM all the way for you now for the very
and
best...
And the final Chris Tarrant breakfast show on Capital 16 years ago.
Say after me, Mike.
Mike.
95.8 FM.
95.8 FM.
Capital Breakfast.
Capital Breakfast.
7:27.
7:27.
This is Guns and Roses.
This is Guns and Roses.
It's a
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and Roy, and my other guests this week, Julie Donaldson and Nathan Spackman. Next week, it's Roundtable Week again here on the Radio Today programme. Trevor's guests will be joining him remotely, of course, to chat about the latest stuff going on in our industry. Plus, they'll be sharing what they've been listening to while stuck at home. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.